For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. John 3:16 is perhaps the most famous and well-quoted verse in the Bible. John 3:16 speaks of grace upon grace, God's love, mercy, and goodness are pouring out in abundance in just this one verse. It takes our breath away that God would do such a thing for us. And we rest easy in the knowledge that we are loved by God so much that Jesus came to live with us. However, there is a difficulty in this passage. It's also found in this verse that we love so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God so loved the world that Jesus came for us. Now, the Greek word used for world here is cosmos. Cosmos, the universe. So this could be translated that God so loved all of creation that He gave His only Son. God so loved everything that God created that He gave Jesus. Not just for us, not for you, not for me, but for everything. Straightforward enough, perhaps. But in the same breath, we read, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And now it seems that there is a condition put on the first section of the clause. So which one is it? Is it all of us? Or is it some of us? The Apostle Paul writes, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Is the good news of John 3:16 only for those of us who have faith, or is it for the whole world? If we focus on God's grace too intently, then we risk making salvation an arbitrary act. In short, we risk cheapening God's grace. But if we focus on human faith as the integral focus, then we risk making salvation a human accomplishment. We may inadvertently put God in a box of our own creation, because we are so focused on what we have done for ourselves. Now, a whole host of very significant theological questions arise from how we choose to interpret this passage. Let's consider the question, though, in a very personal way. Is our salvation dependent on our faith? Or will we be graced by God whether we are faithful or not? John 3:16 is not a question. It is a statement. It is a statement of God's love. However, the questions that arise out of this one verse, out of this one statement, are significant. What seems simple is complicated when we realize that the first clause of the sentence, the whole world, is referenced. It would seem, just as my grade school teachers told me, that grammar and sentence structure really do matter. John 3:16 asks us to look at the relationship between grace and faith. Two separate items, yet they are not mutually exclusive. Clearly, we can see a strong connection between them. And perhaps we can best refer to the relationship between grace and faith as holy mystery. Not mystery because we lack understanding or choose to ignore the problem. Rather, a mystery that needs to be explored. A mystery that needs to be experienced. When we are faced with mystery, we ask questions to deepen our understanding. Often, when we seek answers, we realize that our questions only bring more questions. And that is part of the holy mystery and the walk we walk with Christ. So let's dig a little further, a little deeper into this passage. Because as important as John 3:16 is, what comes before it and what comes immediately after it are equally as important. So let's start with the very curious words of Jesus at the beginning of our passage. Our reading from John this morning started with, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." What does this obscure passage about Moses, which we read in our Old Testament reading from Numbers, what does it have to do with Jesus? Why is Jesus linking back to this old story in the conversation he's having with Nicodemus? Let me ask you a question first. Try and understand this maybe. Who has ever received a flu shot? Hands up if you've ever gotten a flu shot. I imagine a fair number of us have gotten a flu shot. Why did you get the flu shot?
Prevent the flu.
So we receive a flu shot to prevent the flu. And what are you receiving with the injection? You're receiving a small dose of a flu virus to help protect your body and build up immunities. We receive a little of what can hurt us in order to protect us. The symbol of the medical profession, two intertwining snakes, poison and antidote. In our story from Numbers, the Israelites were under attack by snakes and were commanded to look to the bronze snake that Moses had fashioned in order to receive their cure. They look to the cause of their distress and they find their cure. The snakes in our passage from Numbers are a reminder of what first caused humanity to fall from grace and out of relationship with God. When those Israelites looked at the snake, they were cured. However, they were also reminded of how they fell out of relationship with God. So who all is thinking of that other time that the snake caused things to go wrong? Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3. And isn't it interesting that Jesus references the snake and it happens to be John chapter 3? Coincidence, but an interesting one, a happy one perhaps. But that's right. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve in the garden, our friends Adam and Eve, and their encounter with the serpent. It's not an accident that God asked Moses to use this symbol. And it's not an accident that Jesus uses the same imagery. Except that now, instead of looking up at the snake, we must look up at Jesus. Jesus says the Son of Man must be lifted up. The same Jesus who hangs on a cross on our behalf, the same Jesus who ascended in glory to demonstrate that the bonds of death had been shattered. Look to Jesus and find your cure. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus came to save, not to condemn. Now, this may sound like pretty basic stuff, but think about it for a moment. There have been plenty of Christians, plenty of churches, who are far more inclined to point a finger. I'll make sure I try and hit all of you. Point a finger and call out sin. There may even be Christians who feel that their primary calling as a Christian is to point out the shortcomings of others so that they can get closer to God. And if we read through verses 18 to 20 of our gospel reading today, we need to acknowledge that Jesus knew that there were bad and evil people in the world. This isn't a passage that asks us to pull the wool over our eyes and pretend that the world is a nice place. But we are reminded that the very purpose Jesus came to fulfill was to save, not to condemn. God loves creation. God loves us so much that He sent His Son that we might believe in Him and have eternal life. Jesus says, "Look up to me, not because I'm an authority figure, but because I'm up here on this cross. Look to me and know you are loved." You've probably heard the story about the guy who was walking down the street and suddenly he falls into a deep hole that he didn't see. And the hole, it's deep. And the walls are very steep, very smooth. A psychiatrist happens by and the guy calls out, "Hey doc, can you help me out here?" Well, the doctor writes a prescription and he throws it in the hole. And later on a priest comes by and the guy calls out, "Hey pastor, can you help me out?" Well, the pastor, he writes out a prayer and he tosses it into the hole. Then the guy's best friend comes by, sees his friend down in the hole, and immediately he jumps in with him. "What'd you do that for?" the guy asks. "Now we're both stuck in here." "Nah," the friend says. "I've been down here before, and I know the way out." In this world of sin and evil, there are so many dark and deep pits in which we can fall. And for each of us, there is finally a 6-foot deep hole in the ground waiting at a cemetery for us. But thanks be to God that we have Jesus, who has been down that hole before us, knows the way out, and knows the way to eternal life for us. Jesus is the way out. It's called Easter, friends. God doesn't judge us for falling into that hole. God doesn't point out our shortcomings or our faults. God isn't interested in assigning blame. God wants to move way past all of that. God sees our situation and God does two things. He jumps into the hole with us, and doing so, He says, "I'm with you. I got this." God doesn't send Jesus to judge us and condemn us, but to save us. Which is the same business that you and I should be in. Proclaiming the good news, working to save, to help. Not to ask how people got in trouble in the first place. We need to teach and spread the good news. To teach, to preach, to help, and to love. That's what John 3:16 teaches us. Amen.